And I'm just, yeah.
You just shot?
It was sure accident. I'm telling you, I conduct it better than anybody else, I think. If I could sell it, we would have really awesome lights. Fully powered. Anyways, Dave asked me to talk today because, I'm close to having a child and he doesn't know when I'll be able to do it again. So I'm sure for those that have already got the t-shirt and got it soaked with baby stuff, I'm sure you already understand that. So I'm slowly getting there. I'm a uncle, so I kind of get it, but not probably to the full. I'm probably at 1/3, if that, maybe 1/16.
Like 1%.
1%, even better. Okay, well, that's fantastic. Okay. Well, I decided since Papa usually does the slides, why shouldn't I? Because if he can do it, I think anybody should be able to do it, right? No, not so much? Okay. Well, I just was checking it. So, but I also I really enjoy the top tens. So, in honor of Blake, because he tends to be, that's right there. Okay, there he goes. He does all these top ten things, and I always like them. But I don't think mine are going to be as good. However, I thought it was interesting, the spin. These are crazy Tennessee sayings. Obviously, we're here. But this was made by somebody who was not here that obviously was visiting, and they thought these were crazy. For us, it's just everyday life, but this is what they were saying. So the first one is tennis shoes. It actually means sneakers are of all kinds, not just for tennis. I've never thought about that. you got it on, tennis shoes. Really? You playing tennis? No, I'm just, Does it look like I play tennis? Okay. Ping pong more. Okay. Bless their heart. Boy, is that one not a funny one. The starting of a sentence that is about to insult the same person extremely. All right. Bless their heart, The next one is fixing, meaning to do something. I'm fixing to go somewhere, and people are like, what are you fixing up? I don't get it. I just told you, Sweet tea. Oh, that gets me every time. It's the only drink that is everywhere, no matter what, with tons of sugar. I don't know why that was one of their top thing, but I love sweet tea, especially Milo's. It was one of theirs. Number five, bleeding orange. All right, obviously heavily used in the East Tennessee for meaning huge Tennessee Vols fan. There's a lot in the middle. I mean, technically, we're all over, but, who's counting? Goo-goo. Not just baby words, but actually a candy cluster called goo-goo. I could see how that one would be confusing. And for those that don't know, that's Grand Old Opry. I thought that was pretty cool. I kind of knew that earlier, but for those who didn't. Sugar. I don't know why I said it like that, but hey. But it's not sugar in their tea, but an endearing term. I usually use honey. Anyways, God love them. Saying God better because they don't. And how true that is in some cases. Oh, it's sad. The meat in three is a typical dinner of meat in three side dishes. I thought that was everywhere. Obviously not. And number 10, what membership are you? Meaning, what church do you attend or associate with? And I thought that was interesting, because we just talked about discipleship last time. And, if people don't understand membership, it's going to be hard for them to figure out discipleship, I guess, too, at the same time. But anyways, so my lesson today is something that I feel like we all pretty much know. I feel like we heard it 100 times, but at the same time, it's always good to have reminders. Because if it wasn't for my iPhone, I'd probably be lost half the time. In fact, the other half, I actually am lost half the time. And my wife is like, did you not remember to put this in your phone? No. No. Was I supposed to? Yes, Jared, that's very important. Okay, well, I'm sorry. So, anyway, without that other half of the phone, I'd be lost all the time. So, seeking the lost in a generation that says, who am I? My phone just died. See, this is why I keep this thing here. Now, as you know, I go through a lot of different bunny trails, so to say. I get off topic very easily. My mind just blows up in 100 different directions, which all makes sense, but it's hard to get back into the topic. So if it sounds like I'm reading this, it's probably because I'm trying to not go off, okay? But anyway, So living in a world that doesn't understand its own identity, you know, what will it make, what will it take to make this understanding? You know, because they are lost. They are claiming that they have had it all together, but are so easily tossed here, there, and seeking what is right. They seek, but they do not find. How can we help them find what we already know and have anchored down to? Okay. Some of the couple of things that I'm going to talk about, obviously, is up here on this board that behind me. Yeah, just checking. All right, so the first thing I would like to say about this topic as Christians is we must remember, you know, it's definitely a must, that we must love one another and turn sinners away from sinning. If you have sinned, guess what? You are in the same boat, and we are needing of God's love and forgiveness. Now, a lot of people I thought was interesting online, they kept saying how this was a verse, love the sinner and hate the sin. That's not technically in the Bible. That was actually Gandhi who just took a bunch of them and kind of, but it's a good thought. I mean, it's basically what the Bible is getting across anyway. They just didn't put it like that. You know, there's different things, and we'll get to that. The second thing I like to talk about eventually is feelings. You know, are they right or wrong? You know, a lot of people, based on how they feel, do certain things. And then the third thing I want to kind of end up talking about is how to reach others with this new understanding of what we're going through. Like I said, the second thing is let me go back. I've jumped all over myself. Second thing is helping to answer the question, who am I? You know, what do you do when you tell someone who feels like that this or that? In fact, these feelings are no different than feeling whether you like cold or hot tea or even no tea at all. You like how it is to you personally. So to seek the answer to the question, we must understand these feelings. And then back to the third thing is how do we reach these people in a new found understanding? Okay. So the first thing we have heard is love the sinner but hate the sin. But here in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now one of the things that I like to think about when it comes to something of these this type of understanding is Judas the Iscariot and Saul, who later becomes Paul. Obviously, Judas, we understand in Luke 22 and Matthew 27, what he ends up doing. We know at the Last Supper, Jesus says, you know, the one I dipped this same in with is the one who's going to betray me. And he goes out and betrays him. And eventually, Jesus goes out and gets arrested and put on trial and gets crucified. However, in Matthew 27, it talks about how Judas then, at this point, realizes his mistake, that he wish he never did it, and goes and hangs himself. And when we get to Saul, who later becomes Paul, all this transformation happens on the road to Damascus, which we know from Acts chapter 9. So, these two men are both sinners. Okay, Judas, we can recall, like I said, was one of the 12 apostles who chose himself to come and follow him personally. Judas, you know, before Christ was crucified, Judas, before Christ was crucified on the cross, actually helped him, put him up there for money, and guilt sets in, and so then he goes, like I said, and hangs himself, believing all was lost for him. Now, when Saul, when he is Saul, he's imprisoning Christians. In fact, it wasn't just in his own area, but actually was traveling to go see where all these Christians were located at to imprison them. And so he's actually even recorded at being there at the stoning of Stephen, holding the clothes of those that were stoning Stephen. Now, as I know, most probably will remember that Saul is making his way to Damascus. The light blinds him. Jesus talks to Saul. And at this point, Saul chooses to become Paul. Okay? So most of our New Testament, obviously, is written by this very same person that we now know as Paul. And Paul calls himself the chief sinner. Now, the chief sinner, you would say, but he didn't betray Jesus. No, but was he any better than Judas? And I would have to say no. I just believe that he believed that he knew his newfound goals. And so thinking about loving the sinner but hating the sin, what does these two have to do with that? Well, simple to me, it's the hope for second chances. Let's imagine for a moment that Judas did not hang himself, but then turned away from his ways, like Paul did, and then fought really hard to right all his wrongs. and how different it would be if we had the book of Judas within our holy text of the Holy Bible, just like the books of Paul. You know, loving the sinner can make a huge difference in showing them the way, that they are not lost, that they are found. Let's see. All right. Second thing I want to talk about is feelings, but one of the things that I want to read off is 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 through 16. It says, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his ultimate patience and an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." So in feelings, you know, many say, well, I feel this or I feel that. Some have really good days, some really feel bad. We all feel things, but how accurate are they? So let's go a little deeper in thought. So keep in mind, on this journey, this trip we're about to take together, just remember how you feel on this first set of remembrances of feelings. All right, you and your family have decided to go on a week vacation, and you've just been there for a full day, and you're about to go to sleep, and I call you up and I say, "Hey, I'm sorry, but your house just caught on fire. It's all gone. It's all lost." You know, how do you feel? Well, possibly mad, angry, or sad, or a number of other emotions. But you're definitely probably feeling these emotions deeply. In fact, you're probably going to go and just leave the vacation right then and there and drive back as soon as possible. Okay, now coming up to this second part of the journey, let's remember these second group of feelings. So as you pull up to see where your house would have been, you do see your house. In fact, it is just as you left it. There is nothing wrong with it. There's nothing at all that even looks like it's on fire or singed or anything. In fact, the houses around you aren't even burnt. Now you feel what? Relieved? You feel glad that to see your house is fine? You're probably extremely mad at me for calling you in the middle of the night telling your house is on fire and driving all the way back, but you're relieved for the house, obviously. Okay. Now, these feelings, you know, you probably understand that each one of those were real feelings. You didn't feel faked, right? You thought your house really burnt down. And so, so these feelings, were they wrong? Well, no, but they aren't exactly accurate with the correct of what actually happened. I guess it could be true, however, but that was not the case at this point. So now when you just see these small examples of feelings of how they're felt and believed to be right, but are not. In fact, many are lost out there, feel certain ways based on how they perceive themselves. Even closer to home, some of our brethren that are claiming to be part of God's fold, you know, feel that the Lord has saved them. In fact, it is real to them as it can be. But that doesn't mean that it's a correct feeling if it isn't within God's commands towards us. And if anything, we should go to them in love, in a non-hateful way, that feelings can deceive us. The biggest example of feeling these feelings deceiving us is what we call love. You know, people all the time will say, "I love this" or "I love that." "I love this person because I get butterflies." All right, mine was more like a anchor that just hit my stomach. You know, but butterflies would have been nice. But I have to say that love is not a feeling, and I know that's kind of hard to get around because it's not. Love is not a feeling. In fact, if anything, love is a one-way action. All right? And back here, going back this way, looking at 1 Timothy again, we know that for this very reason is why God gave us Christ. You know, we know that love is an action because he loved us while we were still sinners. We didn't deserve that love. We were, in fact, doing everything against him. But yet, as an enemy, he loved us. And so it's an action. It's a one-way street. Now, it's great, obviously, when you find someone who has that one-way street pointing to you and you to them. You know that's amazing. But regardless, you know, we say the vows. We say, you know, for better or for worst. You know, how many people are just really saying for the better, or any of those things? It's really interesting to me. But that's what we need to be guided towards, is realizing that action is one way and that we love this person regardless of how they love us back. And as Christians, that's a hard thing to do because we would like to see the fruits of our labor, and sometimes it takes a little longer to ripen, so to say. Now, the third thing, I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Yeah, okay, good, we're on the right page. All right, so Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." So how do we reach these lost souls? Just as God has told us to go, we go to them with love. Not the butterflies, but the actual, genuine God showing us of action love. Now, can someone who hates Christians ever see us differently? Can they actually love us back? Can that person tell you something is different than the average Christian who speaks about hell and the horrors that if they don't change their ways, they're going towards? Sin is sin. Were we not sinners as well? And so on a personal note, what happens if no one shared the gospel with you? Where would you be? Your actions, your language, your feelings of this or of that? Praise God for that person in your life that has showed you God's love. Because God's love, however, you were still that sinner. And yet, with this very same sin that caused you to be separate from God, separates them also from God as well. Someone loved you enough with God's love to change your life, to be saved from that old life, and to be arisen anew with Christ when He comes. The one that are lost in this world, what Christians are there for? I mean, where are they? And we'll get to this in a second. But the lost are those that do not know God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Some of them will claim parts of each of them, but really without the full understanding of the true nature of their love for each one of us and for them, for the lost. So in closing, there's a song out on the Christian radios now called Do Something by Matthew West. It's been out for a little while, but it's always, I really like songs that I feel like have a deep impact on me. Here in the lyrics it says, "I woke up this morning, I saw a world of trouble. Now, I thought that we would never get so far down. How's it ever going to turn around? And so I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? You know, I just can't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children into slavery. The thought just bothered me. So I shook my fist at heaven and I said, God, why don't you do something? And then he said, I did. I created you. And the chorus goes, if not us, then who? And if not me and you, right now is the time for us to do something. And if it's not now, then when? When will we see the end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. And in the next verse, he says, I'm so tired of talking and about how we're God's hands and feet, how it's easier to say than to be. Living like angels of apathy who tell ourselves, it's all right, someone else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm going to do something. And it goes back to the chorus. The third verse, it says, we are the salt of the earth, and we are a city on a hill. But we are never going to change the world by standing still. And so, no, we won't stand still. We won't stand still. We will not stand still. And if not us, then who? If not me and you, right now is the time for us to do something. If not now, then when? When we will see this end to all this pain, it's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Now, I think, like I said, it's a powerful song, and as many tend to be. And like I said, in the chorus, it explains, if not us, then who? And we go through all these different ideas. And the beautiful part, I think, is when he says, I did do something. You know, when you're talking to God, he's like, I did do something. I created you. You are my hands. You are my feet. And it says, you know, so in this generation who's confused and they say, who am I? You're God's. Just as I am. I am a Christian who knows that I am in the body of Christ. That I am his hands and that I am his feet. So, you know, in thought, here am I, send me. Are we ready to go actually seek and save the lost? The ones that could have been us. if we didn't have that person in our lives to make the difference. And so as I think about just how the world is turning in different directions and saying, you know, what type of identity am I? You know, how do I feel this or how do I think that? You know, these feelings that they're having, it's not that they're necessarily inaccurate, but sometimes it's just in the situation that they're placed in that they feel that that's the correct way. And we need to make sure that we understand that because we know God, we know what's true. You know, a lot of times we get into a situation where when we think about God, we feel like sometimes we know better than Him. And usually we find out pretty quick that's not the case. But we like to think so. But as Christians, we know better. And so we need to tell that to others, that they can too be anchored into such an awesome God, that they are not lost, that they are found. All they have to do is completely turn their life around, get away from these things that they seek in vain in hopes that this will make them happier, this will fill a void, because that's not the case. Those things are going to leave them empty, if not continuously empty, no matter how much they seek it and desire it. We know that Solomon himself had everything he ever wanted, and he said, everything is in vain. Everything, except for God. Being in God, loving God, doing everything you can for God. And so, here am I, send me. Are we ready to go? So, if you have any desire to come and start seeking those, become a fisherman of men. Be those that put on the full armor of God, not to go seek to destroy or to fight back, but use it as defensive armor to go out, shield another brother or another sister and bring them back to the safe hold of God. And come as we sing this next song.
Good morning. Thank you, Jared. Thank you for this, too. All right. Don't forget the Super Bowl party.